Stephen Jill here.
Hello.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about how much should I diversify my land acquisition types. One of my favorite topics, quite honestly.
I know. I have a bunch of notes here. So
awesome.
It's going to be a good show.
Before we get into it, I started in commercial real estate. So I didn't start in land.
Yeah.
And we still do deals in that space. So before we get into it, though, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
So what you're saying is we walk the walk. We don't just talk the talk, right?
What does that mean?
That means that we're actually, we say diversify and we diversify.
I mean, I don't think there's much that we talk about. I don't think there's much theory in any of these Land Academy, House Academy, or any of it. I think it's all proven.
Oh, yeah. We've been there, done that.
We talk about attitude and some other stuff once in a while and get a little bit nebulous. But the fact is, this is what we do.
Sorry, my hair right in my eye here. So we'll find it. All right. Jason says, good afternoon. I need to find a real estate attorney to draw up an affidavit of heirship. The attorney needs to be in Orange County, California, probably in or near the Irvine area. If anyone knows of a good, inexpensive lawyer they can recommend, please let me know. Thanks in advance. You know what's really cool about this? I see stuff like this on Facebook all the time, too. I'm glad people know to reach out and ask. So, all right. So one of our members, Stephen F., says, hey, Jason, I use an attorney out of Riverside. I gave her a call and she said she'd be happy to speak with you regarding your request. Riverside is the next county over and she can do work in Irvine. Here's her cell number. Here's her name.
Her name is Ricky Rivera.
Oh, we're
sure. And her cell number is 951-719-5149. And I included all this, I personally included it in the script today because that's what Land Investors is.
Yeah.
That's what we do here. We help each other. So it's not just, access to the data. It's not just education. And it's not just advice on the show or on and on and on, the stuff that goes on.
Right.
In fact, I'm actually going to call this person too, because adverse possession property, what this person is asking is, what happened here is this, and I'm reading between the lines, but it's a generalization, but I really think it can help listeners. When you send out a bunch of mail, there's a lot of people that contact you that say, I would love to sell you my property, whether it's a house or a piece of land, but it's in my dad's name and he passed away 2 years ago. And I've been paying the taxes and I don't know, every once in a while we talk about it, my wife and I talk about it, and I don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Undoing that, it's called adverse possession in a lot of cases. In the case of California, you can file an affidavit and several other steps and get it into the sibling or the heir's name.
Mm-hmm.
But in some states, like Arizona is one of them, in Colorado, it's tough. Mm-hmm. You have to go through a court procedure, adverse possession court procedure. So you can, as a land investor or real estate investor, create a whole business model around this. And everybody's here to help. That's mm-hmm. my point.
Exactly. Thank you.
Today's topic: how much should I diversify my land acquisition types? This is the meat of the show.
Would you like me to go first?
Yes, please.
I have a list.
A lot of notes.
The big picture is you don't want people to come to your website, your land selling website, and find 100 of the same thing. How boring is that? And it's hard for them to sift through and figure out the one they want. And you want to have your sales ongoing and fluid, and someone checking out on Tuesday for this property and someone checking out on Wednesday for that property, and people driving out for the weekend to look at this property. You want your sales and everything just to keep moving. So the best way to do this is to diversify and have a bunch of different types. What do I mean by diversify? Well, a couple things are like acreage. Have some half-acre properties, have some 10-acre properties, have some 40-acre properties, have a bunch of different sizes. Think about location. maybe not all in the same county. And I know this is, some of this is as you grow and you move on in your land career, it's going to come with time. You first, when you first send out a mailer, you're kind of focused on one area, you know, and one size and just understanding the process. So this is when you've done some deals, you've got your feet wet, and you're now you're ready to kind of, you know, grow your business. So I want you to think about location. Do different states, do different counties. Think about all of that, what you could get into. Think about price. Have a variety of things. I think it's awesome to have $1,000 sale properties and have $100,000 sale properties all over the, and everything in between on your website. You want to think about usage. Think about maybe there are properties that you can acquire that are mobile friendly or RV friendly. Those are huge things that people look for, and those often go really fast too when you can find those properties. Think about infill lots. And something that someone can build upon, have that in your inventory. So these are all kinds of things I want you to think about as far as diversifying all within just rural vacant land.
If you had a, you know, picture perfect situation, Jill, mm-hmm. How would it go? If you had an inventory of 20 properties, what would you have?
I would have 20 properties. I would have some for around $5,000 up to, let's say, $50,000, $60,000 for sale. First of all, I'd have some 2 acres, some 5 acres, some 10 acres, and I'd have more smaller properties than I would bigger properties, but I have a sprinkling of maybe 20 and 40 acre properties in there. I would have, I want it to be appealing people to come to the site too. I'd have some that are like, maybe some Oklahoma treed, beautiful lake property, and then I might have some, you know, infill lots in, I don't know, Florida or something for somebody to buy, or Virginia, anything like that. I'd have some West Coast property and some East Coast property. I would, I'm trying to think what else, and I would have some that can be that are different purposes. I'd like to have some that are maybe commercial, where I can put a mobile on it, and I would advertise the heck out of it. This is just, if you're looking for a mobile-friendly lot, this is for you. If you're looking for camping and hunting and getting lost in Texas, this is for you. Take your buddies out and hunt, this is for you. So that's what I would have of my 20. Is that enough? Descriptive enough?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, I think that, and I agree with you. But I, you know, I think.
What would you do?
My goal has always been, and forever will be, to never own a piece of real estate. So you're
it's
buying
true.
It and selling it so quickly that
true.
That you own it for it's a dual deed. There's Jill does this all the time. Jill's crew does this all the time, where I send in two deeds. You know, you bought the property and you sold it, mm-hmm. and it's not even recorded in your name yet. But you bought it and you did the deal and you got all the paperwork, the deed back and stuff. It's not recorded yet, and you sold it.
Mm-hmm.
So you send in a deed to record it in your name, and you send it in a deed to record it in the buyer's name.
Because it happens so fast.
With a sticky note on it that says, hey, record this one first, please, recorder.
Yep.
So that's always been my goal. And I think that the most efficient way to do that is to work one area forever, or one state.
You think
Jill's way is an absolute, Jill's way is how we do it.
Okay.
But I just had a consulting call with somebody where I said, and they're from one state, and they said, you know, I'm doing a mailer in this state, because that's what you guys say, and that's what Jill just said. And I think it's a great idea, but I said, look, the state that you're in, there's no reason that you can't just, you know, start and finish your whole land and house acquisition career in this one state.
That's true.
There's pros and cons to doing it both ways, but the pro to that is you're going to establish a buyer's list that just is going to beat the band.
Well, here's something to think about, and you're right. I hear you. I totally get when you find a hot area, and you know that area better than anybody else, and you have your inventory flying off the shelves in that area, you could hang out there for a long time and make a career out of it, like you're saying. If you're not finding that, this is a good way to do that, of experimenting a little bit in different areas, and then maybe you'll find that too.
Or do both.
So you could use some of my ideas to go out and go, oh my gosh, I had no idea. Every time I buy a 20 over in this county, you know, that's, and it's a fishing property. It's, you know, it's got some water attribute. They fly off the shelf. Yeah. Well, that is my focus now. And then when I run out, let's just say I'm going to try one county over, this county over, but I'm going to stay there.
That makes sense. And so in the area, almost chooses you versus you choosing the area. So if you send a mailer out to 20 different places, one or two of them is just going to, it's going to pop.
It's true. Yeah.
So.
Very true.
Both are good.
So maybe that's it. Maybe the whole point, I get it. So diversifying your land type is a way to find that area. Find your niche, if you will. And you will, because we have people that their niche is large acreage in like the Northwest. You know, and I think, I want to say, do they do like Wyoming? I can't even remember what states they're hitting, Colorado and stuff, but they're all about ranches.
So that's really what I wrote the title of the show. That's really what I thought the show was going to be about, which I think is good, though. That's why there's two people here.
Okay.
Instead of just, you know, my antics. But how many, so can you list the product, so land as a real estate type? How many types of land are there in your head?
Oh my gosh.
There's rural vacant land. There's infill lots.
Go ahead. There's recreational, like you can do stuff with it. There's land you can hunt on it. There's land you can put an RV on it. There's land you can't put an RV on it.
There's mobile home property.
Right.
There's what I call movie star ranches.
Right.
Which are really expensive, large properties in a relatively urban area.
There's agricultural.
Yep. Keep going.
Land.
This is great. This
land.
This is really helpful, I think.
Yeah. We have people that do treed. There's people that do pick up land for logging purposes.
Right.
And the trees. We have people that pick up land to lease it out for cattle. That's another thing. There's so much out there.
There's property that is slated for development, like mm-hmm. expansion development, like for large home builders. That's right. Usually agricultural conversion land. So that all these properties are priced very differently.
Isn't that great? You know what we just decided, what we just properly shared is, everybody goes, oh, land. Like there's all one type. There's not. You could just be like we have been doing land primarily for years and never get bored. You know what I mean?
Every single time we drive out of an urban area, drive out of town.
Right.
And this is how this whole thing started for me in the 90s. You know, you get out there and you're looking around and you're like, who the hell owns all this property?
Exactly.
And what percentage of these people don't want it anymore?
Right.
And over and over and over again, we prove that. You just send some mail out.
Right.
They're going to sell it to you.
Exactly.
And you're going to sell it for more or own it.
Right.
I just read an article about, for some reason, it popped up in my Google feed and I had to click on it. Like, and I feel, every time that happens, I feel bad. I'm like, God, I'm such a sucker for clicking on this and reading it.
That's hilarious.
I know I'm going to screw up. Like, Google thinks that I'm Google thinks that I'm a real estate agent, which
yep.
I'm not. That I've been in the Coast Guard, which I've never, just based on my search
it's
criteria.
It's hilarious.
And a bunch of other stuff.
What about throw helicopter pilot in there? What else have you got? Helicopter pilot, and I drive a Humvee. Yeah.
And Google's very, very clear on my age for some reason. You know.
That's a good one. I wonder what Google. Okay, wait, you finish.
Anyway,
your thing.
There's this article that popped up that said, you know, you're not going to believe who the most wealthy presidents were, and so they went through like the top 20 or 30 most wealthy presidents, and about 90% of them were. It was all because of real estate or real estate based businesses like plantations.
That it always comes back to that. I swear, every time I'm looking at somebody,
it really
comes back to real estate.
And dirt, actually.
I don't care.
Not housing or anything.
Who you are, the president of Procter & Gamble, you dig in there, there's real estate involved.
That's right.
You know, I'm like, it always comes back to that.
There's some interesting stories in there because, you know, Jill and I talk about this in the education, but when you really, really break it all down, and here, this is not theory, this is reality.
Yeah.
I bought a piece of property, an 80-acre property in the mid-90s, mid to late 90s, and I talk about this in our education for, I think it was somewhere between $4,000 and $8,000, and sold it. I doubled my money. And that was the seed capital, and eventually, I didn't put any more money in, and eventually we generated over it's close to $30 million now mm-hmm. on that one investment. So when you do the math, and buy property. Let's just, everybody understands houses, so let's just use a house for example. If you buy a house for $250,000, which is the national average, and you sell it for $300,000, you made $50,000. Mm-hmm. And you do it again, and you do it again, and you do it again, you're going to make tens of millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's truly amazing. The more that you the point is this, the more that you diversify these product types, the land types and housing, maybe condominiums or whatever makes sense to you, the more of those, I made 25, I made 50, I made 75, I made 100 lines of revenue that you're going to establish.
Are you also saying too, this is a way of diversifying risk? Not that there is a risk, but saying if you have a bunch of different property types, you're always going to have something that is wanted.
That's right.
Okay.
And this applies to everything. So once you learn how to send mail out correctly and price correctly, you can buy strip malls. You can buy just about anything that's data driven. This applies to.
Exactly.
If you can get a good solid database of owners and some associated data with it, like how much are the taxes, square footage.
How much
footage.
Equity they have in
yes,
it.
Yes, exactly, Jill. Mm-hmm. And that's just getting better and better and better as we go on.
Exactly.
Data sets. Mm-hmm. In this day and age, there's never been, if you're a data person, there's never been a better time.
Yep, I agree. I'm sitting here thinking about what Google thinks about me.
What do they think? Like, what are some of the stuff that pops up?
Well, makeup.
Really?
Yeah. I think.
Does Google know you're a woman?
I'm sure it does.
Google's super clear on my job.
Yeah, Google is very clear. Actually, Google knows what kind of makeup I wear. Google knows that I spend a lot of time in Pottery Barn right now. Because I'm redoing the dining room. What else? Google knows that I have a sweet tooth and that I travel to New Orleans. Let's see, what else does Google know? I think Google thinks I'm a little Martha Stewart-like in my baking tastes. Let's see. And I hope Google thinks I'm 20.
Well, Google knows exactly my age for some reason. Exactly.
Oh, I think Google does think I'm 20 because here's why. Because stupid baby born in England, Prince Harry and what's her face? That pop.
Prince Harry and what's her face? That's the name of a show, Jill.
Who just had a baby? It's just. Because that's constantly popping up in my.
Why are you looking that stuff up?
I think it's because of my British soap opera or something. I don't know what it thinks. So.
Prince Harry and what's her face? If I could do a whole show, not an episode, called Prince Harry and What's Her Face, I would do it.
Okay. Okay. We'll save that. Okay.
Wow, how fast is that? How easy is this? Is it for us to veer from real estate on the show?
Oh, it's great. Oh, someday maybe we'll have a show that's not real estate based.
I think that'd be fun.
I do too.
Well, you've done it again. You spent another 15 minutes or so listening to the Land Academy show. Join us next time for the episode called Members Aaron and Liz English Share Their Land Academy Success Stories.
That is awesome. And we answer your questions posted on our online communities. Pick one. There's one at landinvestors.com and on houseacademy.com. Go there, check them out. They're both free.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition. Yeah, that applies to all types of real estate.
Doesn't it? Hey, I got something to say. If you haven't already joined House Academy, get in there. That's what this is. And you can get in early now, start asking questions, making connections, learning more about House Academy. I'll tell you right now, as this airs, our Land Academy members had early access to House Academy, so they're already reading and watching and viewing and learning all the steps in House Academy. So if you want to get on the inside track and learn more about it, get into the online community in House Academy. Again, it's free. Just make an account. Start hitting them up for questions. And then when it's open to the public in a couple weeks, you have a head start.
And if you're Prince Harry, congratulations on what's her face.
And your baby, what's it called? Wherever you're watching or wherever you're listening, please subscribe and rate us there. We are Steve and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property. Crack up, Joe.